Welcome to Tribe Talk, presented by Progressive, making it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Brought to you by Subway, the official training restaurant of the Cleveland Indians. By the University of Akron. Visit areyououtthere.com.
Everyone, welcome to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus along with you this weekend from Progressive Field, downtown Cleveland. Great to have you with us for some baseball talk on the radio this weekend. Indians still above the 500 mark in what was a wild week with a series down in Houston that saw them drop 2 out of 3, a 16-inning game in that series as well. And then their first walk-off win of the season Friday night in the homestand opener over the Twins. We'll have a complete recap of the week gone by on this week's show. We'll also hear from Indians reliever Brian Shaw, Tribe second baseman Jason Kipnis, and we'll have a full farm report from the Indians Director of Player Development, Carter Hawkins. That's coming your way shortly as we get rolling with Tribe Talk on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Welcome back to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus back with you from Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland, where the Indians are taking on the Minnesota Twins this weekend. Then the Reds come in Monday and Tuesday nights for some interleague play, the start of a four-game series, two here in Cleveland, and then Wednesday and Thursday nights down in Cincinnati. Taking a look at the week gone by, we begin with Monday down in Houston, the start of just a brief three-game road swing for the Tribe, a three-game series against the Astros. Corey Kluber was on the mound Monday night, but did not fare well. He had a difficult time in the third inning, did not make it out of the third inning, and the Astros went on to a 7-1 win in that series opener. But the Tribe would bounce back Tuesday night behind the right arm of Trevor Bauer. Offensively, they got it going with Lonnie Chisenhall in the second inning.
The set by the right-hander, the pitch to Chisenhall. He rifles one to right. Down the line it goes. Fair ball. It'll get to the wall. Santana scores. Uribe stops at third. And Chisenhall pulls up with an RBI double. And the Indians have a 2-0 lead as Lonnie Chisenhall has his second double and third RBI of the season.
And that 2-0 lead stood up because Trevor Bauer was just outstanding, getting the ball game through the seventh inning for the Indians.
Boy, it'd be big if the Indians could get through the seventh without having to go to their bullpen. Bauer's pitch count, he's at 103 pitches for the night. Only 15 more strikes than balls. He delivers a swing and a towering fly to right, playable. Lonnie Chisenhall will make the catch. What a job by Trevor Bauer. He has given Terry Francona 7 shutout innings. He has been outstanding, and I would think his night is done, and what a night. 2-0, Indians lead the Stros going to the eighth.
Then in the eighth inning, some insurance runs for the Tribe. First, thanks to Francisco Lindor.
One out, an 0-2 count, Tribe up 2. The pitch is swung on, a bouncing ball up the middle, into center field, a seeing eye single. That'll score Kipnis and make it 3-0 Indians. So, the worst struck ball of the night for Frankie Lindor results in a bouncing ball between short and second and into center field.
And that might Napoli put the finishing touches on things offensively for the Indians.
Runner fakes going. Pitch to Napoli, and he drives one to left. This is off the scoreboard. Ball ricochets away from Rasmus back toward the infield. Lindor hits third. He'll try to score. Rasmus' throw to the plate is cut off. Now the throw by Valbuena to the second baseman. He runs Napoli to third, and Altuve tags out Napoli. But give Mike Napoli an RBI double to make it a 4-0 ball game. Napoli hit it off the scoreboard, off the wall in left field, and that ball ricocheted away from the left fielder Rasmus back toward the infield. And that enabled Lindor to score from first on a double to left.
Cody Allen came on in a non-save situation to finish things up in what turned out to be a shutout win for the Tribe.
Allen pumps and fires. Curveball hit on the ground toward second. Kipnis to second one. Lindor relay. Got him! Double play. Ball game. And the Indians have evened the series by posting a 4-0 shutout. Tremendous pitching tonight, needless to say. But the real tone setter was Trevor Bauer pitching from behind a lot in the early innings. And you wondered if it was a precursor of things to come. Well, he settled in. He got better as the game went on. And Trevor Bauer gave the Indians 7 superb innings.
After the game, Jason Kipnis stopped by. He had a 2-hit night, and things were starting to look up a little bit for Kipnis at the plate.
Kip, did you find something tonight?
I did. You know what? I came early to the ballpark. I had a skip BP because I took a little too many swings almost before the game. But just early hitting and in the cage, I just stayed through the ball and worked the other way the whole time. I know everyone knows I go better when I go the other way, but it's always easier said than done. And we found some good swings today, and hopefully it carries over for a little while.
Then it was on to Wednesday, a tough one for the Tribe, a game that would go 16 innings, only to see Houston win the ball game 5-3. How did it get there? Well, the Indians, that game could have gone the other way in regulation, but Carlos Santana came up with a big base hit for the Tribe in the ninth inning that tied the game.
The set, the right-hander's next pitch, and Santana swings and lines a base hit up the alley in right center. It'll get down and go all the way to the wall. Napoli scores. Santana around second on his way to third. He's in with a head first slide and a triple. And the Indians have handed Luke Gregerson his first blown save since last August. And Santana, who has struggled in the clutch, has come through in a big way.
But again, it would go 16 innings, and Marwin Gonzalez hit a 2-run home run that would win it for Houston in the 16th. Thursday, a much-needed off day after the teams played, or the Indians played 16 innings on Wednesday, and they opened up their homestand on Friday night with a thriller against the Minnesota Twins. Trailing 2-0 in the bottom half of the second inning, Yan Gomes, who had been struggling at the plate, came through.
Now the set. Now the pitch. Swung on and belted to deep left. Away, way back and gone. Yan Gomes with a no doubt about it. Game tying 2-run bomb to the porch and left. That's how you break out of an 0-for-20 skid. Home run number 4 for Gomes. He has 15 RBIs.
Then in the third, Jason Kipnis continued the home run onslaught.
Now the 0-1 pitch. Swung on, hit in the air, deep center. Santana racing back, looking up. It's gone! Jason Kipnis hits his 4th home run. A solo shot to center. I tell you, folks, it's 62 degrees. It's not 92, but the ball is carrying like it's a hot, humid night in Cleveland. Kipnis has hit the 5th home run in this game, and the Indians are down 4-3. So on Dollar Dog Night, home run derby to boot.
So 4-3 ball game, Minnesota in front. And the Twins were at the plate in the top half of the 4th when Francisco Lindor made his nightly great play. The 2-2 swung on. There's a tapper slowly hit to short. Bare hand grab. Lindor throws to first. Got him at first base. A slow roller, speedy base runner. Only way Lindor could do it, charging in, was a bare hand pickup. And he picked it clean and threw a bullet to first base to retire Santana. Still trailing by a run in the 6th inning, Marlon Byrd came up big.
Bird swings and drives one to deep right. Sano is going back. He reaches up. He made a great catch on the track. Tagging and scoring the tying run is Lindor. Tagging and going to third is Napoli. Staying at first is Ramirez. I tell you what, Miguel Sano, not noted for his glove work in right field, made a terrific running catch on the warning track in deep right center on a dead sprint. So a good at bat for Marlon Byrd. He ties the game at four, his 10th RBI of the year.
Then in the eighth, Tribe trailing by a run, bases loaded. Zach McAllister came on and got out of a huge jam.
He's ready. He delivers. Swing and a miss. He went back to the heat. 97 miles per hour, and he strikes out Suzuki, and that'll end it. What a job by McAllister. Bases loaded, one down, and he gets a couple of strikeouts, and the Indians stay in the hunt.
And that set the stage for the bottom of the eighth inning. Marlon Byrd came up with the go-ahead runs on base.
Beautiful night in Cleveland, close to 18,000 looking on. The 1-2 delivery. Swung on, hit pretty well to center. Santana racing back on the track. It's over his head. Hits on the track. Bangs up against the wall. Lindor scores. Ramirez is right behind him. The Indians lead it. Byrd gets the double. They were like an Olympic relay team. Ramirez trying to get the baton from Lindor. And Byrd with a mammoth hit. A two-run double to dead center over the head of Santana. And the Indians caught a break because that ball hit the warning track, ricocheted up against the 19-foot wall, and didn't jump over the 9-foot wall. And now a pinch runner, Tyler Naquin, to run for Marlon Byrd, who's getting mobbed in the dugout.
And later on in the inning, Juan Uribe would come up with what would prove to be a huge RBI base hit.
The set and pitch. Swung on, looping liner, right field base hit. Naquin will try to score. Sano comes up throwing, and he throws it towards the Indians' dugout. Naquin will score, and to second base goes Uribe. That'll be an RBI single and a throwing error on Sano. And the Indians have a 7-5 lead. And the old graybeards coming through in the eighth inning in Marlon Byrd and Juan Uribe. And that's why Chris Antonetti went out to fortify this club with some veteran presence and some veteran hitters.
It wasn't easy, but Cody Allen nailed it down for the save.
Pretty good lead from Mastrione at first. 2-2 the count on Park, two down. Indians with a one-run lead. Allen's pitch, runner goes. Pitch swung on and missed. Ballgame. Cody Allen came back with a fastball, and he strikes out Byung-ho Park. Be still, my beating heart. The Indians get one of those elusive late-inning wins. And for the Indians, it's their first last at-bat win of the season.
After the game, Jan Gomes stopped by to talk about a very satisfying Tribe win.
Jan, do you feel like you were in a heavyweight fight tonight with guys just knocking each other back and forth?
I mean, that's not the kind of game that you want to play, but I guess for the fans it makes it exciting. For us, it makes it a nail-biter. But glad we came out on top.
And Jan, early on, a home run for yourself, and I know it's been a battle for you of late. Do you feel like some certain things may be starting to come back where you need to be?
You know, as rough as it's been, you know, it's been probably the most frustrating 100 at-bats of I'm hopefully ever going to have. But, you know, haven't really hit the panic button. I know you look up, and it's not really that exciting to look up there. But, you know, I've actually felt pretty good at the plate. You know, it's just one of those things that, you know, you can't stress over too much, and you just got to keep trying to win ball games. And when those things happen, good things are going to happen.
Yeah, and this club has been so close a number of times this year where you've come back and maybe tied a ball game in the last at bat, but then lost in extra innings. And you know, you've been there. How big is it to finally win one of these games? Is that something that can suddenly maybe have a snowball kind of avalanche effect when you start winning games late?
Yeah, I think so. There's nothing worse than losing one-run ball games, especially, like you said, on the last inning. You know, we battle, and then we lose it in the last inning. There's nothing worse than that. But, again, there's usually nothing more exciting than winning being on the winning side of the one-run ball games. You know, especially a team like the Twins, they sure battle till the end, man. I know, maybe their record won't show right now, but that's a good ball club. They're not a team to mess around with.
I bet on a night like tonight, catchers go home and collapse.
I think it's a night like two nights ago. I think tonight we're celebrating.
Yeah, and thanks so much. Great job tonight.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me.
So the Indians, with that victory on Friday night, find themselves two games over the 500 mark heading into the weekend. A late Saturday afternoon game against the Twins, and then Sunday afternoon to wrap up the series with Minnesota, a 1:10 first pitch on Sunday before the Reds come to town Monday and Tuesday nights. Stay with us when we come back. It's the Weekly Farm Report with Indians Director of Player Development, Carter Hawkins. That's next after this on the Indians Radio Network. Welcome back to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus back with you from Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland. Indians and Twins in a three-game weekend series currently ongoing. And then the Reds come to town to wrap up this brief five-game homestand for the Indians before they head out on the road for a three-city road swing starting on Wednesday night. Each week we visit with Carter Hawkins. He's the Indians Director of Player Development, the Weekly Farm Report. And this week we focus on a red-hot AA Akron ball club, pitching well, hitting well, and we'll get some updates on some key players, starting with pitcher Sean Morimundo, who won his sixth game of the season earlier this week. And Carter talked about the great progress that Morimundo is making at the AA level.
Yeah, he's really been great. I mean, Sean's that kid that every single season, he's probably the youngest guy on his pitching staff, and despite that, has always been a guy that's been very mature, been a leader, certainly doesn't act like he's one of the younger pitchers, and has led, this Akron pitching staff along with some other, quasi-veterans that we have. But, overall, he has just been a pleasure to be around. His fastball velocity has continued to increase over the years. His command and consistency is beginning to increase. His breaking ball is a pitch that has a lot of effectiveness against left-handed hitters. And, hopefully, as he puts all those things together here, he'll have built that foundation to let him compete in the major leagues here in the near future.
And was it a challenge for him to go back to AA this season to start?
I think those guys, the Morimondos, the Plutkos, they understand that, our starting pitching depth, knock on wood, has been really good over the last year or two. And the guys in AAA right now, Clevenger, Merritt, House, all of those guys, have been there for a little bit. And, obviously our major league rotation is what it is. So they look at it as, hey, we're just happy to be part of this major league depth. We understand that, just because I'm in AA doesn't mean I'm behind someone in AAA and are making the most of their opportunities. So they have a really good, feel for it. And Tony Arnold, our pitching coach there, and Steve Carsey, our pitching coach in AAA, and our coordinators, all really, continue to preach that message to where, hey, just focus on what you can do and don't focus on what jersey you're wearing necessarily.
Carter Hawkins joining us, the Indians Director of Player Development. We switch to the position player side, and of course everyone wants to know about Bradley Zimmer and Clint Frazier. Zimmer, man, every time you look up, there's a home run here, a home run there, some stolen bases. Still putting together that great all-around game as he continues to refine things in the minor leagues?
Yeah, he really has. I mean, especially the last, week, he's hit home runs in three straight games, and has been taking walks and hitting balls the other way, and, really just solidifying an approach as, guys start to pitch him really difficult. Clint Frazier, Brad Zimmer is not just Indians that know about him. The other organizations know about him as well, and they're certainly trying to pitch around those guys or really expose, any weaknesses that they might have identified. And It's about making those adjustments to those adjustments that the rest of the league has made, and it's really encouraging to see him continue to improve over the course of this early season. And you know, absolutely has kept his name well on the map, and defensively has continued to improve and running the bases as well. You know, he has 13 stolen bases already this year, and he's been aggressive there too. So it's been great to see him healthy. You know, he had that little foot issue at the end of the season last year and heading into the off season, and you know, he's really, you know, hasn't really missed a beat. And it's been great to have him and have him and Clint in the same lineup too. It's been pretty exciting.
And how about Clint Frazier? How has he been progressing?
Very, very strong as well. You know, I mean, I think the fact that he has Brad in that lineup really helps him. You know, it gives him, or I guess I should say, takes a little bit of pressure off of both of them, where neither of them really has to carry the lineup. And Clint, you know, obviously a little bit younger, but at the same time, very mature in his game, has played a lot of baseball. He was really eager to learn, really eager to improve, and just taking in as much information as he possibly can. When Michael Brantley was doing our rehab down in Akron, Clint was, you know, just right on his ear, you know, just trying to get any information he could about playing outfield, about approaches at the plate. And, you know, that's awesome for us to be able to see, you know, a young player, you know, have that eagerness and understand that he doesn't have it all figured out. But he's really been impressive as well, and things. It's pretty cool to have both of those guys, you know, in one place and get to watch them both every time you go down to Akron.
A couple of other position players wanted to touch on. Nelson Rodriguez, raw power. How's that translating at the AA level so far?
So far, so great. Actually, you know, Nelson was a guy that over the last few years has had a tough April, you know, just had a little bit of difficulty transitioning to some new levels and just really worked his tail off this offseason, was out in Arizona in December and January. Had a lot of experience in Major League camp this year. Wasn't a member of the Major League spring training, but had a lot of the bats in the Major League games. And I think that really helped prepare him and build the foundation to be able to compete really, really well here in Akron. And this April, he's been great. He has 8 home runs already. He's just getting better. His defense has been, you know, pretty impressive over there for a big guy. His feet move well, and you know, just really excited to have him there for sure.
And Bryson Miles has kept his name on the radar, so to speak. What's he been doing to stay in the mix?
Yeah, Bryson's another one of those outfielders that, you know, when you have the names like Zimmer and Frazier, it can get lost in a shuffle a little bit. And there's some really solid players that are going to impact the major league level at some point that, you know, might not get their name mentioned in Baseball America. You know, might not be the guys that they were talking about every night. But Bryson has quietly gone about his business and continued to improve every year. You know, he's repeating the level. He's, you know, he's almost 27 years old, but he's playing like a guy that you know, is just got his hair on fire and wants to achieve that dream of being a major leaguer. So offensively, he's always been a solid, steady presence in that lineup and swinging the bat really, really well there. Defensively is where he's going to have to make his strides, and he's working really, really hard to do that. You know, to have the reads and the routes and the arm strength, the decision-making process out there to where, you know, when Tito or Milzy, you know, need an outfielder up in the big league level, they can trust that he's going to be that guy. So he's working really hard there, continues to improve on his offense as well. And, you know, just a really stabilizing force in that lineup of some young players. To have a guy like Bryson that really gets it and works as hard as he works is a huge, huge boon for the organization.
And we'll finish behind the plate. Jeremy Lucas, who we saw in Major League camp for a little while. He won the fitness test at the beginning of spring training in a major upset. But he has parlayed some nice time in Major League camp in the spring into what sounds like a real nice start to his season at AA.
He really turned some heads. You know, like you said on that fitness test, you know, he wasn't a member of Major League camp until about 12 hours before that fitness test. Tony Walters got claimed by the Rockies, and we needed another catcher, and we called him up, and he was, you know, in the area, and came over to Goodyear, and literally that day pretty much ran in that fitness test and beat the tar out of everybody in the organization, basically, and really turned some heads, and he's, you know, turned those heads even more, you know, with this early season start in Akron. He's had some hip issues in the past that, you know, limited him a little bit, and it seems like he's really passed those. Obviously, it's shown up in the stats that he's, you know, really swinging the bat well. He's got a 960 OPS. He's hit several home runs. He's catching really well. So, you know, it's been great to see him take advantage of those opportunities he's been given and really, you know, put his name on the map as well.
All right, Carter. Great stuff from AA Akron. Thanks for the update. We'll catch up with you again next week.
Appreciate it, Rosie. Have a great one.
That's Carter Hawkins, the Indians Director of Player Development, talking about a powerful AA Akron ball club with a lot of nice pieces going to work on a nightly basis down in Akron for the Rubber Ducks. Well, stay with us. We'll come back and we'll hear from Indians reliever Brian Shaw. That's next on the Indians Radio Network. Welcome back to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus back with you from Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland. Well, the bullpen has been and will be a key for the Tribe, as it is for any team with playoff aspirations. They've had some ups and downs early in the season, particularly at the back end, where the always reliable Brian Shaw and Cody Allen have been mainstays for the Indians for the past couple of seasons. They've both gone through their struggles in April, which has happened in the past as well, but things starting to click in nicely in the month of May for both. And for Shaw, until Friday night, he had gone 8 consecutive appearances without allowing a run. We had a chance to catch up with him earlier in the week and talk about his recent success. We talk about a lot. You come in and you get the double play and then come back out. In your situation, how much of a challenge is that when you do sit down and come back out to start another inning? Because it doesn't happen that often for you.
Yeah, you know, it's something that, you know, when I first got over here in 13 and even 14, you know, I did a lot more than I had done when I was in Arizona. So I think that kind of got me a little more used to it now than I was previously. So, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, any one of us may do it at any given time. You know, Cody's done it a bunch last year. You know, anybody else in the pen, like I said, you know, has done it. So, you know, it's just one of those things that we have to do, and, you know, you get prepared for as much as you can. You know, spring training, you know, you may have an outing where we come in, sit down, go back out for a hitter or two just to get the feeling of that, and then, you know, obviously we're ready to go.
And we've talked about it with a lot of the pitchers. The infield defense has been rock solid, and you get the double play ground ball yesterday. Does it impact in any way the way you're pitching when you know that they're going to turn balls in play into outs more often than not now?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we have a good defense behind us. You know, all the guys out there, you know, we know that they can make the plays, you know, any given day. You know, Kip made the play a couple days ago for me, you know, that diving play up the middle that, you know, kept a runner off the base, you know. So, you know, whether it's that or, you know, like Frankie's play in McAllister inning, you know, knowing to come up with that ball and go home with it. You know, any of the guys out there, you know, they make good plays behind us, you know. So we come in, you know, we get ground ball and we're assuming it's an out. You know, that's just the way our defense is.
Brian Shaw joining us, Tribe reliever, and things really falling into place for you. But even when the results weren't there early, Terry Francona, Mickey Callaway both said your stuff was excellent. So what is that fine line between getting the good results and then struggling from time to time?
I think early on it was, for me, it was pitch selection, you know, shaking off yawn, throwing out stuff that, you know, I thought was right, not really executing the pitches, you know, getting behind in the counts, not attacking guys, you know, pretty much a culmination of a lot of different things that were going wrong, went wrong, which resulted in, obviously, you know, hits and more hits and more hits. You know, as of lately, you know, listening to yawn a lot more, you know, attacking guys, you know, first pitch strikes, you know, all that kind of stuff plays a factor in that. So, you know, it's we're on, like you said, you know, we're on a roll, the team's on a roll, you know, so it's a lot of fun right now.
Because of where you are in your career now in terms of time spent in the major leagues, knowing what it takes to make those adjustments, a little bit different now than maybe it would have been your first or even second year in the major leagues trying to make adjustments on the fly?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think early on, you know, the younger you are, you know, you don't have that much experience, you know, with some of those kind of struggles maybe. So you kind of rely more on the coaches, you know, and fellow teammates of that to try to help you and, you know, tell you, hey, you're doing this wrong or this looks off or this, you know, this may be an issue. Versus the more time you spend, you go through those woes, you know, and you listen to people early on and to know later on in your career that this is what feels wrong, this is what I'm doing wrong, and to know yourself that it's doing it is definitely a bonus.
And sometimes outside influences come into play. Is it a coincidence that since the great wedding ring caper in Detroit a couple of weeks ago that you've just been on fire and lights out in terms of your performance?
I think it's just a coincidence. You know, it's one of those things, you know, like we talked about, you know, it's over with. You know, I'm not worried about it. You know, it's done. I'm good.
But there may be some advertising deals coming your way at some point?
Yeah, you know, you never know. You know, we got a couple of they sent me a couple of shirts and rings and extra stuff for me and my wife. So it's I'll wear them, you know, all the time. So, you know, I'll rep it as much as I can.
All right, Brian, good stuff. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
That's Brian Shaw, Indians reliever, talking about some of the things that have clicked in for him in the month of May. Stay with us. When we come back, we'll have an interesting interview with Jason Kipnis, the Indian second baseman, who is on a pretty good hot stretch now this week at the plate. And he always has some real honest commentary about the state of the team and what it needs to do to get where it would like to be. And when we come back, we'll hear from Jason Kipnis as we close out this week's edition of Tribe Talk right here on the Indians Radio Network. Welcome back to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus along with you from Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland, where the Indians are taking on the Twins this weekend. Suddenly a red-hot hitter for the Tribe is Jason Kipnis, who had a five-hit game earlier this week against the Houston Astros, and in general this week has caught fire at the plate. And it's no accident. He went to work in the cage and on the field in Houston during that road swing against the Astros, and discovered some things that were missing that he really needed to get back to, and it seems to have helped right away. And when we had a chance to catch up with Jason on Friday and talk about the ball club, we began by talking about his hot stretch of the plate and some of the changes that he needed to make, and how they clicked in rather quickly after some work in the cage prior to one of the games in Houston.
It's always nice to see instant gratification from the work you're putting in. It doesn't happen often in this game. This game is a lot more about the process than the results to the players, even though all we want is the results. But you got to trust the process, and when you see fast results like that, it's always nice, and it lets you know you're on the right path.
And maybe it seems obvious as to when you need to really start looking at some things, but for you, how do you find it, what you're looking for, and when do you decide, hey, I need to make some changes here?
It's tough because you don't want to wait until you're in a slump to start making some changes. You want to stay ahead of the curve and always be working on things. You find it from your past successes, from when you were going good. You take notes, kind of what you're feeling right at the moment, and you look back on those notes, and maybe you might have taken 5 to 7 notes, but only one of them will be what triggers the kind of that past swing or past feeling that gets you going again. So it's just little things that you write down or remember from when you're going well.
You have the good game Wednesday, but a tough game for the team. And I know this is a game of short memory, all that kind of stuff. How does this team put that behind them right away and get back on the beam?
You know what? I think the off day helped us. Will give us a chance to put that behind us real fast. Guys were tired. Obviously a lot more tired of losing that 16-inning game than winning it. But I might have been the only guy who wanted it to keep going right there, to be honest. And everyone was ready for the off day, even more so after a 16-inning game. So guys were able to get away from the game, get away from overthinking or trying to work on things. They can just go home and enjoy some time away from the field, and came back with some new energy today. I guarantee it's already behind everybody.
Jason Kipnis joining us, Tribe second baseman. You always have a good feel for what's going on with the ball club. And the team's off to a start where you're a little bit over 500. What do you see that may be holding the team back from really taking a step forward here?
You know what? We're in a better position than we have been in years past, but we're almost kind of falling into some bad things that we've done in the year past, or not bad things, some unfortunate things, rather, where we've only had one or two guys going maybe a night. You see teams get on some really good stretches when they have maybe 3 to 4 to 5 hitters going well and can put up a lot of runs. Pitching staff's done a good job. I'm not going to comment anything on them. They've been doing more than part, holding that team to, until the last inning, 3 runs through 15 innings. Yeah, that's on the offense then to have scored more than 3 runs. So that was on us. And it's just you just want to get a couple guys going right at the same time, because we've been playing better defense. We've been still hitting and scoring runs better than we have, but we want to be coming up with the big hits and cutting down on strikeouts, and runners in scoring position is always key.
And you open a series with the Twins tonight, and obviously they've had an awful start to their year, but at times the Indians have had trouble with Minnesota. Is that just the way the division can be sometimes when you play teams 19 times a season, that sometimes one team can have another team's number or something along those lines?
It always seems to work out that way. That's why you play it in between the lines and not on paper. It's still a major league team over there. You can't just roll it out there and expect to win. You can fall into a little lackadaisical
feeling when you see a team with a bad record showing up, you might be like, okay, well, we should win these games, but should doesn't play the game. That's why we go out there and we've lost. If that's the way we're going to approach games, where just because they have a bad record that we're supposed to be winning these games, dude, you're never going to win too many games. So we got three here, two versus Cincinnati, or four versus Cincinnati after that. And I know their record's not that great so far. They didn't get off to a great start, but it's going to be coming to the ballpark and like it's a Detroit, like it's a St. Louis, like it's a really good team with a good record, and treating that way and making sure that we're not just showing up because they, on paper, they're a worse team than us.
And you talk about that kind of thing, and I know you've taken more of a leadership role with this ball club as you've gotten older. Some good veterans, though, brought in, and about a month and a half into the season, what have you seen from the Mike Napolis and Rajay Davis, players like that who have helped?
They've been great for us, and it goes beyond the numbers on the field. It goes into the locker rooms. Jabba Chamberlain, the same way. He's very professional in the way he comes to the field and gets his work done. Nap sets the tone for a lot of guys. He's a fun guy to be around, but he's fun when he's in the way that he's always about his business. He's always about getting better. He's very organized and meticulous about what he wants to do with the field and when he wants to do it. He's always on time, very good time manager. So it's really helped me being next to him, because that's always something I've struggled with, is his time management. So if I see him getting to go, ready to go to the cage, then I'm like, oh, crap, I need to start getting ready to go to the cage. I'm going to try to follow him and tail him along. But these guys, they're professionals. They've been around the game. There's a lot less worry about what other people in the team are doing, because you know a lot of them are taking care of their own stuff.
Thank you for your time management for this interview.
it was tough to book me, but I appreciate the flexibility on your part.
That's Jason Kipnis, Indian second baseman, and really a good feel for the heartbeat of this ball club, as he has become a leader on this team and really one of the core veterans of this ball club. He's been here a while now, as he's become an established major league player and has a pretty good idea of what makes this team tick, and always interesting to check in with Jason on what's been going on with the ball club and where they'd like to get to. Well, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Tribe Talk. Great to have you with us this week. Next weekend, we'll join you from Fenway Park in Boston, as the Indians will be in the throes of a tough road trip. They're taking on some good ball clubs on this next road trip. They will play Cincinnati early on, and the Reds are off to a slow start. But then it's Boston, which heading into play over the weekend was tied with Baltimore for first place in the American League East with a solid record, well over .500. And then early next week, at the tail end of that road trip, it's the Chicago White Sox, who have the best record in the American League. So some big stuff coming up on the next road swing for the Tribe, and we'll join you from the road, Fenway Park in Boston, for next week's edition of Tribe Talk. Until then, this is Jim Rosenhaus reminding you that you've been listening to Tribe Talk on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network.
It swung and banged up the middle. Lindor, diving stop behind second, gets up, throws, he got him again! Another sensational play by the kid, Francisco Lindor! Been listening to Tribe Talk, presented by Progressive, making it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Brought to you by Subway, the official training restaurant of the Cleveland Indians. By the University of Akron. Visit RUOutThere.com.